powerful story. It's so cool. Allegheny Center is one of the biggest Alliance churches in our district. And I grew up hearing stories about Pittsburgh and the health of the Alliance Church here. My mom actually lived in the Pittsburgh area about 30 years ago. And it's funny that 30 years later, you know, that she prayed that her son would be a pastor in the same area. So I'm just amazed by the prayer of our denomination. And like the story said, E.B. Whiteside founded, I mean, it was really the Lord through him, but he founded a lot of these churches in the area. And I wonder if one of his disciples or one of his, you know, pastors in the, I guess, in the fourfold became, you know, a pastor here. I don't know that, but it'd be cool to research that. But as you can tell, we'll be on the topic of prayer, and it's a very important aspect in the Christian life, not just our denomination, but in our life as well. And it's really the only way really connect with the Father, other than the Word. But God really listens to us through prayer, and that's why I want to preach on that this morning. So let us pray, and we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for a God that communicates with us, Lord, and it's not just a one-sided conversation, Lord, that we just talk random words or whatever to you, Lord, but you actually hear our hearts, Lord. Before we even, Scripture says, before we even say a word, Lord, you know what's on our hearts. And I'm grateful to God that if there's a need that we don't really recognize yet, but you provide for that, Lord. I'm thankful for just many people in this congregation who pray for me, just unspoken answers or needs, Lord, or prayers that that you know that they're going to come about. But I'm thankful for prayer warriors, Lord, and thankful for women like my mom who prays on my behalf daily for our church, and Lord, just other people that pray for you, Lord. And it is a battle. The Christian life is not easy, Lord. It's not a sunshine rainbow walk, Lord. You promise us that your grace is sufficient. We believe that prayer is part of that grace. And I just pray that our church would be a praying people, Lord, and a praying church. Lord, I pray that this time and this sermon would bless you, Lord, and bless this congregation. I pray that you would speak through me, Lord. And I pray that, as I mentioned before, that prayer would be taken seriously, Lord, that it wouldn't be a mealtime thing, or wouldn't be like, oh, you know, I pray. But like, really, Lord, that we'd really seek you in prayer, Lord, that we pray without ceasing as you say in your word. And just help me be a man of prayer, Lord. In your holy name I pray. Amen. So today's scripture passage comes out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And so I'll give you a moment to get there. And my translation may be a little different than yours. I'm using the New American Standard Version. And the reason why I use New American Standard is it is the most, well, it's said to be the most accurate translation from the Hebrew and Greek text. So NIV is good. That's what you have in your pew Bible. But my reading of the word might sound a little different. So don't get freaked out. I'm not translating anything weird. Just follow along as I read to you. Again, that's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, some translations say understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's read that again. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In context, Paul is encouraging the Philippian church to remain joyful and true to God in every situation, whether it be or bad. Often the highest points in our lives, it's easy to forget what God has done in our lives. But immediately when things go south, we are continually praying and seeking guidance from our Heavenly Father. This is not always true in everyone's life, as many have a consistent prayer life. But often, it's easy to go through the motions of our spiritual life, specifically prayer, when things aren't going well. This is why the Apostle Paul encourages the Philippian church to be truthful to God and joyful in all circumstances. With that, prayer is the means of how we can stay connected to God and remain joyful even the most difficult seasons of our life. From our text this morning, there are three points I want you to remember about prayer. The first point from the text is that prayer can remove anxiety. Specifically, prayer can remove anxiety from our lives. There are many factors that cause anxiety in one's life. stress over completing a project, the loss of a job or starting a new job, or loved one dying, or the fear of falling short of God's expectation in your life. Anxiety leads to many illnesses. In fact, if not kept in check, it can lead to a heart attack or a stroke. Instead of worrying and being anxious about everything in our lives, God tells us to pray. Paul tells us to pray, sorry, but through God, through Paul, tells us to pray. Specifically to pray about everything, not just basic needs, but everything that comes to mind. You may ask, I don't know how to pray or what to pray. And to be honest, I've been stuck there too quite a few times. But often, I look to the Bible and what to pray for. And I listen to the needs of others or circumstances in my life that I pray to God about. From the Bible, Jesus gives the outline of how to pray in Matthew 6, 5 through 15. This famous verse, or a few verses, the Lord's Prayer, which you all know, says in Matthew 6, 5 through 15, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. Amen. We know these famous few verses as the Lord's Prayer. And often we've had it memorized since our little kid days in Sunday school. But do we really utilize this prayer as an outline for our prayers today? Do we? Let's ponder that for a second. We should use this outline as it helps us focus exactly what God wants us to pray for. In these 10 verses, we see that we are to pray for God's will, specifically God's will to be done on earth, His kingdom to come and expand, to pray for our physical needs, the needs of others, and to seek forgiveness from God and also from others. We do not need to make prayer complicated. We need to have a neat, elaborate speech when talking to God. He knows our hearts and He knows our needs. He just wants to hear from us because He loves us deeply and wants us to grow in love for Him. Like any relationship, communication is the key to the healthy relationship. So Chris, if you're watching, I'm sorry for not always being the greatest communicator, but I know even with you that God is gracious, and I'm thankful for a gracious God and a gracious fiance, but seriously, guys, communication is really hard. And even today where communications, phones or texting, you think it'd be easy to stay in communication with your loved one, or loved ones, plural. But it's even harder with God. There's so many distractions in my life that I caught up in, good or bad. It's just so hard at times to find even 5 minutes to pray. But communication to God is serious, and that's why prayer is serious. And if you don't spend time like a loved one, like with God, you're not going to grow in relationships. So that's why prayer is important. Our relationship with God is no different. Like I just said, if we're not spending time with Him, we won't learn from Him or grow. Prayer is a two-way street, where we talk to God, He talks to us. According to Christianity Today, a famous Christian website, prayer is more than just spending 5 to 10 minutes of speaking to our Heavenly Father. It's more than just kneeling in front of an altar in church. It's more than just making requests known to God. Since prayer is our means of communicating with God, it's a two-way communication. When we pray, we are to listen to God. We are to hear Him. We are to listen to His life-giving and sweet voice, and we get to know His heart for us as written in His Word. Listening to Him can be difficult at times because He stretches us and molds us into who He wants us to be. But I know in my life it's easy to push back against the stretching when it's uncomfortable when we're comfortable with where He has us in life. Prayer helps us get uncomfortable. It helps us see God's will and purpose for us. It also helps us see how we can grow deeper in love for God and make a significant impact in the lives of others. Often we struggle in prayer because we feel like God owes us something, because we have been good Christians, when in reality, God owes us nothing, and He sacrificially gave up His Son for us on the cross. Phil Yancey, a fellow alumnus of my seminary, the Biblical Seminary, says, Those who are truly helpless can pray. Meaning that we must solely rely on God for everything, even understanding in this chaotic world, and prayer is the means of that understanding. God uses prayer to often help us make sense of our reality. This is why Paul urged the Philippians to pray, and I believe that we are still to pray today. Prayer not only helps us stay connected with God, but it helps us discern His will and give us hope and direction in a chaotic world. Practically, grow deeper in prayer, especially when I don't feel like it or know how to pray? Well, a simple answer is, would it be spend more time in prayer? But if you're like me, you need a little more structure in your prayer life. There are plenty of resources on how to pray more effectively. There have been many books written by Phil Yancey, a good fellow author I enjoy. But for a takeaway today, I'd like you to learn the prayer hand. So, David, if you could flip through a few more slides. Oh, anyway, I'll walk through it. So, I thought I did, but I apologize. So, my friend of mine, his name's Chaplain Eric Grambling. He's a CMA pastor. He's also a CMA Army chaplain. He has a cool analogy for how to pray. So, like your hand, you're to pray for forgiveness of your sins, pray for others, yourself, I'm trying to remember it all, the world, and I think the church. I probably have it wrong, but I can send it to you guys. And I apologize for not having the slide up there. But again, use the prayer hands. You pray for forgiveness of sins. Oh, it was thankfulness, yeah. Forgiveness of sins, thankfulness, yourselves, others, and your world. And I just thought it was just a cool, neat way to pray. Like sometimes, like, I don't know what to pray for, but you have a hand. You have 5 points you can pray for. I'll send that out and make it available to all of you guys. Well, we've seen that prayer can remove anxiety in our lives. Prayer is also to be conducted fervently. Fervently or supplication, wow, are not usual words in our vocabulary. But the meaning of supplication that the Apostle Paul uses here is an urgent request to meet a need which is solely addressed to God. The question is then, are we urgently seeking God in our prayers? I think the world would be a better place if we pray more and seek God to accomplish more things if we prayed more. However, myself included, I do not take the time to pray consistently or treat it seriously. For us to understand the importance and seriousness of prayer, we need to understand what the disciples thought about prayer. Did you know that the only thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them about was prayer? Isn't that interesting? Just ponder that. The only thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them about was prayer. Not miracles, not preaching, not, you know, being a good leader, but it was prayer. So just imagine that. The 12 disciples asked Jesus, what is the most important thing he wants to learn? And it was prayer. I'm like, I'm blown away. Like, if I were one of the apostles, I'd be like, Lord, teach me how to do miracles. Teach me how to heal people. You know, like, teach me how to bring, you know, the kingdom come to earth. But no, they asked them about prayer. So just ponder that. That's why prayer is so important. It is evident prayer since the disciples has been an integral part of the Christian life. Because not only denominationally, we believe prayer is the primary work of God's people, the Christian church for centuries has believed that as well. Often we see God show up in mighty ways as a result of prayer. Everything the disciples did, Jesus did, the early church, early missionaries, and our denomination today is done and is bathed in prayer. Hopefully still will be. We can accomplish prayer when we seek God's guidance and help. Through prayer, God accomplishes much. Without prayer, we have no sense of guidance or direction from our Heavenly Father. This is why prayer is part, and he would often slip away from the crowds that were following him or the disciples to pray to the Father, to spend to talk with him for his guidance. Since we are God's disciples, we should model prayer as well. Do you or are you having a consistent prayer life where you're setting aside time to hear in some quiet space? The scripture doesn't have an exact time limit or big or small or how long we ought to pray. The scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Since this is God's will for our lives, prayer helps us have a joyful heart. We give thanks to God for what he's done for us and what he will do in our lives and for those around us. Back to my point about praying continually. We all have segments of 5 to 10 minutes throughout our days, and perhaps we can even use our various coffee breaks or bathroom breaks, whatever you call it, to spend time with God. Finding time to pray is not hard. We just have to be intentional and ask God to help us be committed to prayer. As your pastor, I'm committed to pray for all of you daily. Honestly, I've struggled to consistently pray time with God throughout my life. This sermon is also for me to hear because I too need to be serious about prayer. This is why I've started a weekly prayer service, where we can intentionally seek God and pray for his will, not only for his will to be done in our world. And every week, I've been here praying for you guys, been praying for Butler, been praying for the kingdom coming on earth. And it's just so cool to see the fruit of that. Like, you might not see it now, but it's just cool that I had the opportunity to go last Sunday to pray for that soldier. And there's another soldier approached me after the service on Sunday. He said, "Chaplain, can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure." And usually they're like, you know, it's something serious. And this one soldier had been going through a really rough divorce. And he's like, "Chaplain, can you pray for me? I believe in the power of prayer." And I did. And it was just immediately, I know he's still struggling, but immediately after we prayed, you could see a burden lifted. And it was just so cool that God touched him there. And it was just cool from the power of prayer. Like, I know in my life, I go, why do we pray? But just from growing in my Christian walk, I've learned that prayer is so important in our life. I'm committed to pray at least 30 minutes a day to pray for you, our country, God's direction for our church, and the lost in our world and various issues. But to be honest, I do fall short of my own expectations and God as well. This is why I need you to pray for me as I pray for you. I want to be a man of prayer, as I mentioned before. I want to be known as a man of prayer, like E.B. Whiteside, because I want to seek God in everything that I do, in ministry and in my life. If nothing is bathed in prayer, then I believe there's no point. Prayer is the lifeblood of the Christian life, and this is often how God sustains us through difficult times. Yes, he uses his word and other people, but it's often through prayer where he brings true peace. This brings me to my final point today. Life. Again, that point is, prayer can produce a peace-filled life. Prayer at its core is about giving up control and solely relying on God's strength. This is definitely not easy for our human nature, as we like to be in control. I like to be in control. Definitely coming from a Marine Corps family where my dad was really type A and everything had to be done a certain right way, I learned how to be controlling very early in my life, but that's besides the point. This is definitely not easy for our human nature, like I said, as we like to be in control. However, we cannot let God work in our life and be surrendered to him. This does not mean that we are lifeless robots. This means we're to live a life yielded to the Holy Spirit and God's will, to his love and purpose for our lives and not our own. There's a new song on the radio that has helped me in this regard. And it's helped me be content in all circumstances because I believe, and hopefully you believe as well, that God is more than enough for us. This song is called Jaira, written by Elevation Worship and Maverick Worship. But hear these lyrics as I speak them to you. The song says, "I'll never be more loved than I am right now. It wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carrying the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. Jaira, you are enough." And the word Jaira means God is our provider. "And I will be content in every circumstance. You are enough." One of God's names is Jehovah Jireh, as I just mentioned, the God who provides. Do you trust that God is enough and that you'll be content in life because of who he is, regardless of what happens in our lives, how we're going through? Contentment then results in peace. And Paul assures that God will give us peace when we pray. Specifically, he says in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your minds and hearts through Christ. Do you have this peace? And if not, God desires you to have this peace. We just have to be willing to surrender our own will to him and seek his guidance through scripture and spending time with him through prayer, which will result in peace. In a chaotic world, such as the one that we live in, where everyone is against each other, religion is said to be relative, in the seemingly unending pandemic, it's easy to get saddened, disheartened, or lose hope in our world. However, brothers and sisters, may I remind you that I believe in Jesus Christ, the one who has overcome the world, and hopefully you do too, and that we can take heart in him because he is what truly matters. And everything in this world will pass away anyway. It was so cool to see Patrick's testimony yesterday and just knowing his story, just looking forward to eternity and praying that, you know, come. As Christians, we believe that our eternal life starts when we become believers, but it was just so cool to see and reflect on Pat's life and what a well life he did live. And I'm just reminded and encouraged that this world will pass away. You know, God may give us only 85 years old or 85 years to live or 100 years or whatever, or even 20 to 27 years, but that life you lived on earth can live to its fullest. And it was cool that prayer often gives us purpose in life to do that. So it's just really cool to see that. I didn't know Pat, but it was just cool to see that his life was well lived. Do you trust in God's goodness today? If not, I'd like to pray for you to seek God's goodness, and that you believe it and see that He is enough for us, and that He can make a difference in our heart. Through prayer and the study of Scripture and applying it in relationship with Him to our lives and ministry, we can see God move in mighty ways. Prayer is not an easy subject for people, as many struggle with it, myself included, and ask God for help. I believe God recognizes our prayers and hears our prayers regardless. There's no prayer, big or small, that God doesn't hear, nor simple or complex, that He doesn't take to heart. Our God loves to hear from us. Do you believe that today? I pray that you do. Spiritual battles are often won through prayer. And really anything that God does in this life is through the result of prayer. In fact, Jesus is praying on behalf of us right now to our Heavenly Father. Why? You may ask, because He loves us. Thus, we should be like Jesus and be serious about prayer, because He was as well. Prayer is the heartbeat of the Christian life in our denomination, and prayer is often what sustains us in circumstances. In prayer, we are connected with God, and without it, we are unfortunately lost. It can lead to uncertainty in life, anxiety, and unfortunately to temptation to sin. But when we spend time with God, we are less likely to sin because we are spending time with Him. It's kind of redundant, but it's true. I pray that you take prayer to heart as a result of this sermon. But it is vital, because prayer is vital to our relationship with God, and is vital to seeing God in the lives of others, ourselves, and in our world. To close, I'd like you to end with a quote, one of my favorite Christian Mission Alliance theologians, who's also the namesake of my puppy, A.W. Tozer. On prayer, Tozer says, "When I'm praying the most eloquent, I'm getting the least accomplished in my prayer life. But when I stop getting eloquent and give God less theology and shut up and just gaze upward and wait for God to speak to my heart, He speaks with such power that I have to grab a pencil and notebook and take down notes in what God is saying to my heart." He also says, "Prayer does not have to be a formality. God just longs to hear from His sons and daughters." So let me read that again. A.W. Tozer says on prayer, "When I'm praying the most eloquent, I'm getting the least accomplished in my prayer life. But when I stop getting eloquent and give God less theology and just shut up and gaze upward at Him and wait for Him to speak, He speaks with such power that I have to grab a pencil and a notebook and take notes on what God is saying to my heart. Prayer doesn't have to be a formality. God just longs to hear from His sons and daughters." So as we close, let us remember to be a praying people, because prayer can cure anxiety. Prayer is the life of the Christian life. It can bring about true everlasting peace. Do you trust that today? Do you trust God is enough through prayer? I pray that you will come to know the Lord through prayer and seek the fruit of His prayer. Let us pray as we close. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for just the opportunity to talk to You, Lord. And I'm grateful that You are the true God, that we have a relationship with You, that we can communicate back and forth. And sometimes, Lord, there are periods in our life where we don't feel like You're talking. We don't feel like that You're saying anything to us, Lord, but often it's going through trials, Lord, where we see You show up the most to other people, specifically other people praying, Lord. And even seasons in my life, Lord, I've seen my mom get on her knees and pray, and not just my mom, but other people, Lord, have prayed for me through darkest times of my life, Lord, where I've really struggled to see You or any good thing showed up through prayer. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone struggling today, that they would know that they are loved. Lord, I pray that we continue to pray for them, Lord, and not to quote Garth Brooks, but Garth Brooks, Lord, thank God for answered prayers, Lord, because there's no unanswered prayer. Even if it might feel like there's a no, Lord, You still answer prayer. And I'm thankful, God, that You are a faithful God, You're a loving God, You're a forgiving God, and that You're a gracious God. And Lord, I pray that we'd be a blessed people because of prayer. And Lord, I just ask that You just bless us today. I pray that my congregation know that they're not only loved by You, but through me and the rest of my leadership team. So we go from this place, Lord, I pray that we just enjoy You today and take You seriously, Lord. It's in Your holy name I pray. Amen.